Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, and welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, the podcast dedicated to building awareness, understanding, and strategies to help those with dyslexia. I'm your host, Lisa Parnello, dyslexia therapist and founder of Parnello Education Services. Join me as we dive into today's episode of Dyslexia Devoted.
Hello, and welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, episode number 90. This week, we are talking about what does dyslexia look like in the long run? This is one of the questions that I get the most, although it is worded slightly different ways depending on who's asking me, but wanting to know what does it take, what happens to these kids in the future, and what happens when they become adults, essentially. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about some different outcomes for kids with dyslexia and learning differences. Let's start out with the worst case scenario, because nobody ever wants to talk about it or think about it because it's terrible. But it does happen, and it is something that we need to pay attention to. So the worst case scenario is that a child goes through school not knowing that they have dyslexia or not getting the right support and education to foster their learning. And then it usually results in a lot of failure and a lot of frustration, and sometimes doing things like dropping out of school or getting into trouble, and it can lead down a really dark path. I have a neighbor up in the mountains that he and I were chatting one day, and I was talking to him about my business and what I do, and he's like, yeah, I didn't find out that I had dyslexia till I was about 25, and I just always thought I was dumb growing up. And he has a job that is with the Forestry Service, and he works in the woods all the time, and you don't really need to read books to do that. You just have to have, you know, a pretty brave soul who's handy climbing trees and things like that. I see that he's a very successful person with a great family and great kids and lives a wonderful life. But not everybody heads down that path. A large portion of the people who are in the prison system are illiterate or have undiagnosed learning differences. Because what happens when you can't be successful in life? You find a way to be successful. You get into things that are not legal because they are ways that you can make money. Because when you think about any job in the universe, it usually requires you to read something or write something. Even the most basic jobs usually require you to read a basic set of directions. So if you have a severe learning difference that was never supported, then a lot of times you do what you have to do to survive, which is do things that will earn you money, but may not be the most legal of choices to make. And therefore, you end up in places like juvenile hall or prison eventually, because most people cannot get away with doing things that are not legal for very long before they get caught. Now, let's talk about best case scenario. I've had a few kids over the years who are very bright and honestly just needed me for 6 months to a year and were gone on their merry way. I don't really talk to them anymore, but their parents occasionally send me a postcard or I get the holiday greeting cards and a little note about how awesome they are doing. There's, you know, one of them that I still go out to dinner or lunch with the family every once in a while just because I spent so much time with them. And they are the ones who encouraged me to start this business of becoming a professional dyslexia therapist as my full-time job and not working at the school system anymore. And so I check in with them. But, you know, their daughter is doing great and applying to colleges and is taking AP classes and things like that. I have a few kids who came to me in middle school when really it was more a matter of their dyslexia was fairly mild, and a lot of it was really poor teaching in their elementary schools. They didn't teach them any sort of phonics on how to sound out words whatsoever, so the kids were never able to naturally break the code and learn how to read. And so they just needed a little bit of support, and I never really saw them again because they're doing great. They don't need me anymore. And so those are some of our best case scenarios, that they don't need a lot of help. Now, let's talk about the more common scenarios, which is a child with moderate dyslexia. And a child with more moderate dyslexia usually requires intensive instruction and remediation, and it can depend on their processing speed and a few other things, but typically it takes about 2 to 3 years. I've seen kids go faster, but sometimes when you do some of these really expensive programs that promise a lot of really fast progress, one of the things I've seen is the kids don't retain it because they haven't been practicing it as long. And so they seem to get really good at it for a while. And then a couple months later, they don't quite remember everything because it isn't completely to mastery. It hasn't all worked its way into long-term memory. So I often see kids need at least 2 to 3 years of remediation. And that really depends on how often they're getting support. So if it's only going to be once a week, then you're probably looking closer to 3 years, compared to if you are having extra support, you know, 3 times a week, 2 or 3 times a week, or maybe even 4 if you're lucky, depending on where you can get that much support, then a lot of times progress goes a lot faster and you can get a lot more done in a lot shorter time. It also depends on how many kids are in a group. When you're working in a group, it will always take longer. I can guarantee you it'll probably take twice as long when you work in a group than if you do one-on-one. And that's actually why I do not do group services at my office, because I believe in giving the kids the fastest progress possible. So what seems cheaper by working in a group usually ends up working out to cost as much or more because you have to do it so much longer. Now, for these kids, sometimes the more moderate dyslexia will often need to use accommodations for the rest of their life just to make life more fair for them because everything takes twice as long. So if you pretend every school assignment has a 20-minute homework for each class times 3 classes, 20 minutes times 3 is an hour for a normal kid, but that's 2 hours for a kid with dyslexia. So oftentimes, kids with more moderate dyslexia will always need to use accommodations just to level the playing field because it's really not fair for them to have to spend twice as long on homework for the rest of their life. So if we can do things to make life easier, such as listening to an audiobook when the point is to remember the content, not to learn how to read, and things like that, it makes it a lot easier. Or to use things like speech to text or autocorrect on the computer to fix their spelling errors, or programs like Grammarly. Those are great ways to level the playing field. So the thing is, even though they're able to read, things will still be challenging sometimes. And in fact, I have a couple of kids that I see at the very end of the day because they're older and they can handle it. They're middle schoolers, high schoolers. And I can tell when they're just done. And I just stop our lesson. All right, we're done for today. You're not going to get anything else. And that's usually at about our 50 to 55 minute mark of how long our sessions are anyway. But sometimes they hit a little sooner if they've had a really stressful day at school or whatever. And the way I know that they need to stop is how many mistakes they're making. If it's a kid who has been fully remediated and generally doesn't make too many mistakes very often, and all of a sudden I've seen them make 5 mistakes in the last 10 minutes, all right, you're done. You've hit your mental breaking point. I want you to stop here for now and take a break. Come back to this tomorrow, come back to this in an hour, whatever the time limit is that you can do, depending on when that assignment is due. That is often when I know the kids are done. And it is also something that I teach my middle and high schoolers. I teach them, when you are tired, when you are sick, you will make more mistakes. So it is better to try certain things that are more challenging when you're fresh. For example, I am currently recording this on Sunday morning, and I have a kiddo who I see on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and she had hit her limit on Thursday. Nothing else was going to come out of her after 30 minutes of our session because she had a really hard week with a lot of tests and a lot of essays and a lot of things to get done. And so we decided to do time together on Sunday morning because she's a kiddo that I've worked with forever, and we know that we can do that. It is something her mom has given us a thumbs up on whenever we need to, and we can use the extra time on Sunday morning when she's fresh, because trying to force her to work longer on Thursday would not have helped anybody. It is the end of her day. It's the end of my day. We all are just getting a little tired by the end of it. And it's one of those things where trying to force a dyslexic kid when their brain has hit its limit is really not going to get you anything good. And so a lot of times it's knowing where that child's limit is and what does it look like. Most kids have a tell. A lot of times I can see it by the number of mistakes on things that they don't normally make mistakes on. That's the usual tell for most of them. And so knowing when to schedule your time based on when you have the most brain power. It is actually why a lot of my kids that are older, I actually see them later in the evening, which you would think would be worse, but actually it's not, because they need a mental break, because school is really hard for them. So if you make them do 7 hours at school and then immediately come home and do more tutoring, sometimes for that older kids, they really can't handle that because they can stay awake longer. They're not, 6 years old. They don't need to go to bed at 8 o'clock. And so we can handle pushing their time a little later, because then they get that reset time. They can go get a snack. They can go hang out with their friends for a couple minutes. And then we can jump into tutoring, because then that gets more progress. So every kid is different, and the amount of support they need changes depending on the child and what they need, and a lot of times based on their processing speed and their working memory. So if you look at the kids' reports, any child with really weak working memory and really slow processing, those are the kids who often need help forever. And not to say that it's a bad thing, it's knowing what tools you are going to need. So for example, the kiddo that I was just talking about that's a high schooler, she needs a lot of support forever, but it's not like I'm still teaching her how to read. None of what I'm doing is teaching her how to read. She can read, she can spell. It's all about, simplifying the language on assignments. So if a teacher gives her a 10-minute tangent on what she's supposed to do, I will give her a 2-minute rundown of what she's really supposed to do. And she's like, oh, okay, that's all I have to do. Because it is a language-based learning disability. So sometimes when somebody uses too many words to explain something, the kid, it just goes over their head. It doesn't actually go even in through their ears and stick in their brain. It goes in one ear and out the other. So a lot of times with the kiddos who need support for longer, it's more about simplifying the directions and getting to the gist. What is the point that I want you to take away from this? Here are the steps. Here is the order of activities you're supposed to do. Here's the root of the assignment. The goal is to do XYZ. And that's often what it looks like in the long run. Somebody who can break down the assignment into something that is manageable and makes sense. And some kids are pretty socially savvy, and sometimes they just have a friend that does this. They don't necessarily need a tutor sometimes. Sometimes they have a friend who's like, all right, all you gotta do is this and this. And the kid's like, oh, okay. And they get it done. So you need to decide what that child needs. Sometimes a kid needs an expert. Sometimes the kid needs a parent. Sometimes the kid needs a good friend. I know I have several families who've told me more than once that I am mostly there to save their sanity, because somehow when I tell the kiddo to do it, it goes over much more smoothly than when mom and dad tell them to do it. And so it just kind of depends on the situation. And then we have our other more severe cases of learning differences. For example, I have a kiddo that I see 4 days a week and for an extended period of time, and that's just what this kiddo needs. The kind of kiddo that needs intensive one-on-one for every subject all the time, or they just won't get it. There are cases where kids have a really severe learning difference, and in which case they may always need somebody to give them more direct, explicit instruction, and they may always need support. So these ones are far less common than you would think. A lot of times most kids can learn a lot through remediation. The kiddos I'm thinking of who always need this more significant support usually have the lower IQ, especially when it comes to processing and working memory. And those kiddos are the ones that always take longer for everything. A lot of times they hit their developmental milestones when they're a lot older. Those things that they ask you at the pediatrician when kids are babies. And have they started walking? Have they started crawling? Have they started talking? The kids who hit all of those milestones later, those are the ones who often need more support for longer. I've also seen it for the kids who have really low self-esteem or kids who have really severe ADHD, because they always need somebody to redirect them. They always need somebody to refocus them. So there's one kiddo who, she is amazing at her reading and her spelling and all those things. But now when I see her, one of the things we do every single time is organize her backpack. Not because she doesn't know how to organize a backpack, but because she has ADHD and forgets things and will find things in the bottom of her backpack that she never turned in. She did all the work. She knew how to do the work. It just never got turned in. Or she will lose all of her pencils because she puts them in weird places and doesn't ever use a system to put them away in the right spot. And so one of the things we do every single week is go through the backpack, go through her grades, and just double check that everything actually got done. And it's more about executive functioning and learning to be organized and on top of things. And then someday she's like, hey, you'll be really proud. My backpack is already organized and I already know where my pencil is. Those days are few and far between sometimes, but someday we'll get there. And knowing what that will look like as they get older. So creating systems, teaching them to use things like an Apple Watch that will buzz at them when they need to get somewhere on time. Have you met me? If you haven't met me in person, there's an Apple Watch on pretty much at all times because that is the only way I remember to do everything. I will even put things like put word cards in my teacher bag as a calendar alert so that my watch will buzz me and remind me to put it in my bag so I don't forget it. It is teaching kids systems that will work in the long run. And all of these kids can be really successful with the right support. This is one of those things where the kids can go on to have amazing jobs. The kids can go on to be adults that have fantastic careers. And a lot of times they find careers that match their skill set and their interest and do not rely on so much of their weak areas. For example, I have a guy that I grew up with that got diagnosed with dysgraphia our senior year of high school. Can you imagine going through all of your schooling and not learning till the very end that you have a learning difference? When he discovered it, he intentionally chose a career path that didn't look as traditional as many others, and he learned to work on caterpillars, not like the bug, but like the heavy machinery. And so he went to school to work on the heavy machinery kind of things because he was always good at being a mechanic and fixing friends' cars and things like that. And it was where his skill set does best, is using his hands actually does a really great thing for him. And he has a skill most of the rest of us don't have. And like I said, my neighbor works in the forestry service. And so he does an amazing job keeping our forest healthy. And whatever else the forestry service does, I should probably ask more questions on that. I also know several of my clients have parents who are big wig CEOs of big companies. Because sometimes having that brain that works differently means you can create amazing things and see a big picture other people don't see and can create fantastic companies. And the thing is, when you're a big wig CEO, you have an assistance. And even now in modern small businesses, I know tons of people who have a virtual assistant that helps keep track of some of the day-to-day stuff or checks the basic emails and just tells them which ones they need to pay attention to. And so we do live in a wonderful world of technology. So as people get older who have learning differences, there are amazing resources that didn't exist before, like autocorrect or things like the device who shall not be named who lives in my house that I ask questions like, what is the weather? And tell me the news. And I can't say her name because she'll hear me and then start talking at me. And there are things on our computers that can read the audio aloud. We can use things like Speechify that you take a picture of a written page and it can read it to you if it's too complicated of a text for you to sound out or it would take you too long to do it. We have fantastic ways in our society today that were not possible 10, 20, 30 years ago. So there is no reason to think that someone with learning differences can't do amazing things and be ultra successful. So I know I started the episode with a worst case scenario, but a lot of times that's not the way it goes. And there is hope and there is every reason to believe that a kid with learning differences can be a rock star in life. All right. So to recap our episode, the first one we talked about was worst case scenario. A lot of people with learning differences end up in juvenile hall and prisons because they did not get the support that they need. And there have actually been initiatives to teach people to read in prison so that when they get out, they have a better option when they leave. There are some kids with really mild learning differences that just need, you know, a year of remediation. They're good to go as soon as somebody teaches them the code and how the words work, and they can be rock stars. The more common experience is that a lot of kids need intense remediation for 2 to 3 years, depending on how much support they're getting and how often and how big of a group. So sometimes that answer might be closer to 4 years if they're working in a group compared to getting one-on-one support. And then the most common case is that kids will be awesome in the long run, but they do need support, and that level of support will change depending on the child. If a kid who has poor working memory and slow processing will often take significantly longer on all subjects forever, and they just need more support, but it doesn't mean they can't do it. They just need more explicit instruction, fewer words, and a bigger helping hand to get there. And we also talked about how we have amazing resources and assistive technology today that makes it incredibly possible to be a rock star in life, even with learning differences. And you can go down different kinds of career paths that reach your full potential whatever that may be. That's it for today. I think I ran on a little long. Maybe it's to make up for the fact that I did not check in with you guys last week for an episode because jet lag really did get the best of me. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. Don't forget to check out the show notes where you are listening to this episode right now to find out more about the different resources, especially the assistive technology that I mentioned. Or the show notes are always at parnelloeducation.com/episode, whatever the number is. So in this case, it would be /episode 90. That is all for today. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you want to learn even more about dyslexia, check out parnelloeducation.com/courses. See you next time.